Oké, jongens, welkom bij een nieuwe podcast. Ik ben hier met een hele interessante gast. Maar we gaan alleen de podcast gaan houden in het Engels. Ik ben hier met Christine. En vanaf nu gaan we het door in het Engels. Dus Christine, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, welcome to you, everyone.
So, Christine works as a life coach and is a motivational speaker for women. Can you talk about more about yourself and why you are a motivational speaker?
All right, great, perfect. I am Christine and I'm 24, and I decided to do those studies because they represent me, who I am as a person and what I stand for myself and for solidarity towards other people, mainly towards women, because I do understand their emotional status and their energy whenever I'm around them. So as a child, I always thought of myself that I was a kind person and really helpful and welcoming in my aura. So it was totally natural to have that helping energy in myself. And growing up as a, you know, mature woman, I understood that it was my path to help people also in a more professional way, where I could understand their sick patterns and negative emotions that could in a certain way affect their life in a negative way, and to correct it by walking by their side and trying to make it better somehow. That's why my studies and everything.
That's really nice. And can you talk about a little bit more about how you get involved in all this? Like, where did your journey start? How did you get more conscious about yourself and helping other people, and the experience you went through?
Yes, of course. Basically, my childhood hasn't been one of the most fairy tale childhoods, let's say. I lived in an environment where love was definitely there, but we had situations as an alcoholic father and a judgmental mother. She wouldn't understand that what my father had was a disease, because addictions, any kind of, no matter if it's food, overeating, heavy drugs as heroin, and then we pass to alcohol, which nowadays is still legal, it's just the result of an underneath problem. Okay. And for many people it's really easy to judge, so they take it as a personal thing, they take it as a pointing thing, as a credit for themselves to have the strongest part.
And was your mom like really confident in herself, or was she like really insecure? She got like in a relationship that was obviously like pretty toxic.
Well, my mother has been always a really secure and serious woman. She always got her things together, and seeing a weak man didn't make her feel any more desired and a woman, you know, what we all would like to feel into the perfect relationship with the, you know, blonde man on the horse coming to save us and be the best. And this as a child made me see situations as fights, and my mother wanting to leave. And let me tell you something really interesting about how I worked on my traumas and stuff like that. I remember many times when my mom used to judge and point on my father. She used to always say, "Now I'm gonna leave, you guys never gonna see me again." She would go for a drive of 1 hour just to calm down. But imagine into the mind of an 8-year-old child saying that I'm leaving and you're never gonna see me, what kind of trauma you create for the future. This is why I had to work on myself for my nowadays relationship to feel secure that people won't leave me alone, you know?
Like, as a child, like, how badly did it affect you to be like, I guess I can imagine if your mom said, I'm gonna leave and I'm gonna come back again, that would create like a, a fear of rejection and a fear of abandonment.
Absolutely.
And how did you like process it as a child?
Well, basically my childhood was really, I'm not ashamed of saying dark. I always didn't really feel the light vibe that a child could experience about, you know, going out, just playing, falling down, scratching your knee and standing up. For me, the scratch on my knee was nothing comparing to what was in my soul about, let's say, for example, I would go out with my friends, but in my mind there will always be the backside thought of, oh my God, my father is fighting with my mother. Maybe when I go back home, she would have been left and I would have never seen her again, and all these kind of things. So yeah, pretty heavily, to be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine that will be like tough on a child though. But transitioning into like your teenage childhood, how did you go like into school? Did it affect you with other people, like going to school and then putting like a wall in front of you to other people?
Well, to be honest, not really. I always try to externate it in a really good energy, because what I didn't, let's say, have or experience at home, I was able to experience with my friends. So that was the light part of my day, where I would give my happiest self to people who were, you know, happy, harmonious around me, and really genuine. So yeah, from there I started creating really good friendships where I could share and let out what was going on at home into a heavy environment that could affect me into my daily life.
Okay, nice. And talking about like, because you pretty obviously experienced like a bad relationship, and how do you define like a good relationship now?
All right, let me go with a preview. Mainly on the streets, I see people walking together, but I see them fighting or just, you know, holding hands, but I don't see the, how do you say, the smoothness in their energies of loving each other. For me, a healthy relationship, it's mainly trust. And I always have a sentence, which is leave and let people leave. That means that you can be together, but you always need to have a balance. You always need to fall in love with a person and keep on staying with that person because she is the way she is, you know. Many people stick together 24/24, and that comes out of fear. Many people are jealous, possessive. They don't give time to each other's space, and I'm gonna explain it in the easiest way.
But like, isn't like a bit of jealousy and that kind of stuff like important in a relationship? Because I could imagine like if I had a relationship with a girl and I went out with some, let's say I went to party with some other girls and stuff, and she wouldn't say a thing, I would be like, something is wrong, you know?
Well, let me tell you, a good part of jealousy, it's definitely the result of love. But I do believe that in the moment that you show to a person that you love her and you appreciate her, there is nothing wrong for you of living your life or creating friendships that doesn't necessarily need to be your gender to feel good about yourself, what you're doing, you know, and everything that surrounds you as a human. If I would be jealous, let's say if we were a couple and I would be jealous of you, I would have told you, but I would have never put you into the mental cage of making you think, oh my God, I'm not going with that group of guys because there might also be girls. Because then we're going back to the fact that it's not a healthy relationship, because there is no healthy boundaries of trust and respect.
Yeah, I think that's also really important for me, because for me, for like a really good and stable relationship, is to have both your own lives. Like if you are separate from each other, it's always good to have like your own friendship, your own circle, your own things that you got going on, and not being so dependent on other people. Like, how do you see this as your perspective?
Absolutely agree with you, because to be honest, think about it. Sometimes you're in a couple and you are sticking 24/24 together, right? But then at the end of the day, what do you have to say to each other? pretty much nothing. And this is how, you know, relationships end, by cheating, by just breaking up, because you're done, you know. You have no more energies and experiences to share. And then look at people that are maybe 55 or a little older, that are way more alive than us. They are super happy into their relationship, but they still keep their longest friendships. When they get back together, let's enter into a little bit more private, they have a really good physical connection, they have a really good vibe between each other, but they are also really loving. And the reason why such a long relationship lasts is because they gave space to each other in all those years. And we nowadays don't really manage.
Okay. I have also something like a good friend of mine, he always said this quote, in a good relationship with a woman, you need like love, sex, and romantic. Do you agree with this?
Let me tell you something really funny. You always should find yourself a woman that can be 1,000 different women. And yes, I do agree with you. We are mainly ashamed of talking about physical contact. Why? There are so many other things that we should be ashamed right now. And nowadays in society, love, friendships, absolutely. You need to be able to share, to talk, to be on the same intellectual level, to create a good vibe. Love, what is love? Feeling without even talking, just with a look, you're able to attract each other and then pass to the next step that you said, which is sex, sensuality. For a woman to attract her man, you need to be confident. For a man to attract a woman and keep on having that strong part is being, you know, the secure. Yes, the secure, the loving part, the friend that you can always share things with. So I definitely agree with you. I see it in the same way.
Okay, that's really nice. But is it like how do you see like the society we live in now? Because you said everyone wants to be like more free in the sexuality, but for a girl, isn't that like not the proper etiquette, like not done? Because let's say, if I see a girl walking, I really like her, and I walk up to her and just say hi, like that's pretty normal, right?
Yes.
But if a girl does it to the guy, like really often, she can be like seen as a slut. So how do you see like the slut shaming of girls and other stuff like this?
Well, you know what it is? I always believe that the way you do it is important. It's not... look, for girls it's a little bit harder because girls are really able to attach easily emotionally to a guy. Okay. So a girl could see you on the street and could really like you and come up to you, not because she's drunk, not because you're handsome, but something in your energy, in the way you looked at her while you crossed your visions, attracted her. But I do believe that there is a really different way of coming and telling you, hey, I would like to keep in touch with you and I would like to get to know you better. And another way is like, oh my God, you have so many beautiful forms in your body and your abs are fantastic. One tends to get to know who you are as a whole, as an individual. And the other one tends to sexuality. Doesn't matter which side of the two people is, because what happened to me really often was that men, I was walking on the street, they would tell me, oh baby, you have such a nice body. Either I fought or I ignored them and I gave them a look from up to down and they escaped. But I had...
But isn't that like also can be seen like really confident? Because I can imagine that if you see a really a hot girl walking and you like get all the courage in yourself to say to go, hey, you actually look like pretty nice today.
Absolutely, yes. In that way, I would love it, but I wouldn't like it then. I'm entering into a little bit delicate conversation for me, street harassment, which could be, you know, the way you dress and the forms and this and that. So if you're not really, excuse me the word, nasty in the way you do it, I could definitely appreciate your compliment. But if you come as a man, as a real big, strong gentleman, and you tell me, hey, I'm sorry that I'm stopping you. You're so beautiful. I think that I could really, you know, go for one date with you. I don't want anything serious, but I do want to get to know you. And maybe then, best believe that as a man, you have 1000% of chance almost of having a date with that girl, because it's manners, and that for a woman feels so confidential and amazing that she wouldn't dare, except that if she's not into a relationship, to tell you no, I don't want it.
I guess that's pretty good advice. I should use it sometimes, I guess.
You should.
Yeah, I really should. So moving on to you and helping other people as a coach, how did you start like being a coach for other people, and especially women? So like, how did your journey start with that?
Well, basically I noticed long ago, when I started in the beginning around 6 months ago, that I always used to talk with older women that had, you know, little problems, drama situations, and spontaneously they would share with me. And I would notice that after 10 minutes we were talking, they would feel way better. They would thank me, leaving and saying, you made my day 1000 times better. So then, you should know that in my studies, I need to follow a guideline for what I already studied. So I do help people with things that I'm 100% sure I can help with. Because with lifestyle coaching, you can improve someone. But if you don't have experience, you can also make situation worse. You can destroy them way more. And many women I helped with their relationship about codependency, which is literally constant fear of losing your boyfriend and not even living your relationship in a happy way. Many other women who were killing emotions with alcohol because they couldn't handle the fact that they, you know, were alone without the warmth of a man, because still they didn't meet the right one. So they would dive into alcoholism. And you should know that there is a big difference for a woman, but also for a man, mainly women because they are more emotional, about drinking alone at home to cope and kill emotions, and going out with friends and having a glass of wine for, like, Dutch people says, gezelligheid, you know. So I had experience with many women, and most of them distanced from families, because, for example, they didn't agree with which kind of guys they were dating or were having long relationships. Women who were into mental abuse, physical abuse. So it's a really good experience. Yeah,
that's really nice to hear. And can you talk a bit more about how the process, like, for example, like, if a girl is like really in a void with herself and she's drinking all night long by herself, like, how do you get someone out of that habit? Like, how do you help someone?
Well, let me be honest with you. Whenever a woman starts drinking by her own, it's because she experienced really heavy emotions. Mainly, the connection is really strange, because drinking starts mentally, but it relieves the pain, that anxiousness awakens in your body as a pain in your soul, you know, when you feel the stone on your chest. So I help women mainly by making them realize that all these emotions are something that mainly we choose for, because we choose to stay in that energy, no matter if it's in ourselves or into a toxic relationship, toxic friendship, toxic person that they just met, you know, that can bring them into a sick pattern. And mainly, whenever you start drinking, you're not mindful anymore, because you kill emotions, you kill your mindfulness. You need to bring them into awareness. You need to find out the root, what's underneath the reason why they drink. So to many women, sadly, I had to recommend to distance from the person that they are with. Why? In the moment that you distance, you become an individual. You become yourself alone. And then from there, you can start working from rock bottom all the way up. If you keep on staying into something toxic, you can never recognize if the fault is into yourself or into the person. If you distance, then you find out where the problem is and you can work on it.
Yeah. So so your phase is then to distance yourself from the negative energy and stuff. Yeah. But how do you like recognize that something is toxic or like a red flag? Because I can see if you like, for example, you are in a relationship and you think like, how do you say it? Like, it's the first serious relationship that you had, but how do you pick up like all the red flags?
Mainly when I start to talk with the women that I'm coaching, I tell them, you can talk about whatever you want, so I can a little bit scan what the behavior is. You know what they start doing? They don't talk about themselves. They talk about their boyfriend, who they are, what kind of problem he has, their relationship. That's the first red flag. You're not talking about yourself anymore. You're not concentrated on to building yourself as an inner growth, body-wise, socially-wise, you know, strong, independent woman. That's, you know, women empowerment. That's what my thing is about. And then sometimes I just stop them and I'm like, all right, great. I heard about your boyfriend. I heard about your relationship. But who are you as a person? Do you know who you are, what you want in a healthy way? That's the first red flag. If they do not know who they are as a whole, eh? As an individual, how can you be with someone? That's the first red flag that I do recognize.
Okay, nice. But I meant more like about the person in the relationship itself. Like, how do you like, as a girl in a relationship or as a guy in a relationship, how do you pick up like the toxic traits from your significant other, like your partner and stuff?
Well, mainly you start, you mean like, what are the sick patterns that you can notice into a relationship? Well, mainly I do see people distancing from their friends, canceling appointments because they always hold on to something. They start cheating on each other. They become sexually numb. So one of the two persons in the relationship avoids sex relation. They don't want it anymore. The other person starts thinking that he's cheating or she's cheating. They become really aggressive. You can see that they don't have anything positive to talk about. And if you would go out with them, the only thing that you would hear talking about is relationship, relationship, relationship. Putting all the weight on your shoulders of asking you advice is how to make it better. Well, at that point, when you get all these things, you can make the results, the addition by yourself, and realize that everything is bringing you rock bottom. So, yeah.
That's really interesting, like really interesting. And like, how do you find these people that you help? Like, do they come to you or do you actually search for them?
Well, mainly, to be honest, it's their friends who literally push them to come to me and talk about stuff to get a good balanced life, you know, where they can enjoy a little bit. Or either they just, you know, by talking with people that I do know, I get recommended, because I worked on myself a lot in relationships, to be honest. And yeah, also by reading about my articles on my blogs online about, you know, if you are not strong by yourself, how can you be with someone else? How can you fix someone broken and breaking yourself at the same time? So by social media, recommendations, reviews, and friendships mainly. Yeah.
Nice. So you also brought a book with you.
Yes.
This is the book from your mentor. Can you talk a little bit more about the book? Like, what's the biggest take-home message that you get from the book and you want to give to the people?
All right. So I'm going to say the name of the book if someone would like to read it. I do study on it, but it's available also online, I guess. It's called Your Body Speaks Your Mind, Decoding the Emotional, Psychological, and Spiritual Messages That Underline Illness. All right. The title says a lot because it's pretty long, of course. Basically, that book for me means not only my studies, but the way people should be able to live their life. We do not want frustration. We do not want bad feelings all day long, all our life. That book shows you how you enter into sick patterns and how they affect your mind, how it brings you to depression, how it brings you to addictions, how it, you know, family environment, society environment, brings you into a state of mind that it's so toxic that releases automatically as well into your body. Because you should know that whenever your bad thoughts affect your mind, it releases into your body as toxins. It's absolutely scientifically proved. And that book decodes the way in between that connects the two things. And this is why a lifestyle coach mainly works onto your mindset as I always say, guide dog guides a blind person, you know. And here you start literally from the base, which is healthy boundaries, the regels that you give to yourself about self-respect, and that others should respect for you as a human. And then we arrive to illness, we arrive to depression, suicidal, and how to work with these people, you know, and help them.
That's really interesting, and it's really big book as well. So if you guys want to check it out, you can check it out online. You also write articles yourself, right?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about that and where people can find it?
Yes. So my blog, it's really simple. It's my name and surname. It's kristinguneskawix.com. Basically, in my articles, you will mainly read about women and the way they live their daily lives, you know? The way you can improve yourself as not being the label that everyone sees and judges in women, you know. One of my favorite articles, so I can give you a big example of what I am about, is talk about ethnicities, culture, and how in the world women live their lives. You know, all around the world, women are different. They grow up differently. Cultures are different. Way of living their lives is different, you know. Here in Holland, for example, I do have, and don't get me wrong, big respect of Dutch women, because they are so leveled with men, and they are so strong and tough, and also classy and beautiful at the same time, that I feel home, you know. I never feel alone. I always feel improved by them, just by seeing them biking and with minus 10 degrees and three kids on their bike, two bags of groceries, and you know, it's pretty cool.
Is it really different for other countries that girls are like act different towards men? Because I heard like in Sweden, like more up north, like the women there are like really more more manly as a man than the man there itself.
Well, let me be honest, everyone has his you know, culture, and there are some that I do really like and you know, recognize myself into, but definitely in some other countries there are you know, some habits as women that I don't really, let's say, not agree or don't identify myself into. For example, I'm Bulgarian, and our neighbors, Turkish women, mainly get married by receiving a huge amount of money from the family of the man that wants to marry them, you know. They get like 10,000-20,000, and who offers the most, and of course they are in love with, they get married with. And they are the typical women that usually mainly cook at home, take care of the kids, don't really have to work and stuff like that. So all over the world it's different. I do know about Swedish women that they are way more tough, and let's say, yeah, we say that they wear the pants at home, eh? But that's also no wrong, you know. As long as a couple and a family is happy and harmonious, everything, it's okay. It's all about culture and people likes to live their lives.
Yeah, I guess it's everywhere is different. It's not all the same. And you also go a lot to the gym, and you work on your body, not only like spirituality, but like on also like physical. How does fitness help with all this? And do you like recommend your clients to go to the gym as well?
Absolutely. I believe that taking care of your mind and body is something that should always walk together. Why? Because your body, it's your permanent house. It's where you always are. Training not only helps you to get amazing legs, beautiful slim, you know, belly and whatever, but it also really helps into the psychological part, which is with endorphin. And that's the, you know, the hormone that releases happiness. Whenever you train and you keep yourself active, no matter if it's the gym, a run, a bike, it's the most natural way that you can feel happy, proud and confident in yourself, because it literally works not only in your mind, but as a physical factor of releasing endorphin into the hormones of your body. And yeah, lifestyle coaching, it's all about having a good, happy lifestyle, and nothing better than combining it with a healthy body, I believe.
So yeah, it's the whole picture, it is. And do you only specifically help women or also like guys?
I wouldn't mind having a, I'm not gonna call it client, but patient, that is a man. I can level with everyone. I do not close my energy towards a man. I'm really open into talking about everything. And, you know, whenever you see a man that needs your help or it's a little bit weak, you do have that kind part in yourself, as well as understanding that no matter if he's a man, he does have problems and things to work on too. And I even appreciate it more because they, you know, they get naked in a certain way with their soul and emotions of asking you for help to better themselves, not only for their individual person, but also to maybe have a better relationship, to be better fathers, better sons and husbands. So yes, it's definitely amazing, and till now I didn't have it, to be honest, but I would love to.
Okay, that's really nice that you not only like specifically only help women, but also guys as well. And do you have like a big tip, like a big advice for the people you can give, like if they are in toxic relationship or they are feeling in depression or that kind of stuff?
Take your time for yourself and think deeply. One thing that I read into a book, it's Eckhart Tolle, Living in the Power of Now, I will mention it, is don't ever judge yourself too much. Just step out of your thoughts and look at yourself as a second person, but don't judge, just look and recognize the sick patterns. Stay for a moment alone, take yourself a week, a day, a month, just to realize what's the parts that you need to work on, and don't blame yourself, simply better yourself. Ask for help. If you don't want to ask for help, then definitely realize that it's not a simple process. It's recognizing stuff, working on them, and then getting the best result that will, you know, bring you to the total opposite side of happiness, and finally being able to have a healthy relationship and walk by someone's side in calm and harmony.
I think that's really good advice, because for me, I think the biggest step to happiness is to start judging yourself.
Yes.
And that way you will stop judging other people.
Yes.
And then for me, like, it's like, how do you judge other people if you don't have any context of them? It's like you don't even know like a lot about your own mom or your sister or brother. Yeah. So how can you judge someone else if you don't know like context about them? So yeah, to wrap this up, do you have anything you want to talk about, like to feel off your chest, or?
Well, no matter if you're a lifestyle coach or at least studying for it, I am not perfect, but I'm really glad about something. Nowadays, I'm really able to release and recognize whenever I'm into an illusionary state of mind that something is wrong. Something makes my soul so heavy that even though I'm in a really happy place, something will just pop out of nothing, you know, and will make me feel so, you know, down and insecure. But I might say that that's the negative part. Really proud I am, though, that I'm able to recognize it, to scan it, to think that it's just a thought, you know, it's nothing else. It's what I always saying to myself. It's not really what makes you feel like that that overwhelms you, but it's the change that you need to make to arrive at the point of getting rid of it. So yeah, I do have pretty dark moments, but I do work on them, and no one is perfect. I mean, we are on this earth to learn from each other, and same me as well. So I let out of my chest that I'm not perfect, and I do have a lot to work on myself too.
You're just human as well. I guess everyone is.
Absolutely.
I found this like really interesting talk. For the people that want to hear more about you or want to get like help from you, get coaching, where can they find you?
Well, mainly I would say, yeah, the most famous social media at the moment is Instagram. My Instagram, it's christine.gunesca. Same, you can find me on Facebook or my personal email, which is simply kristen.gunesca@gmail.com. And I will be happy to help if I can and if I'm able to improve you.
Okay, guys, that was it for now. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to follow it. Give me a follow on Instagram as well, @RiceGains, and I'll see you next time. Peace.